to thank the Lord for your season? Is it hard to thank the Lord for your season? Yeah. But let me tell you something. You see, this is what the enemy does. He's so cunning, but he's not creative, because he tries the same crap all the time. But when you acknowledge that God is in control and you thank God for even the hardest of times, the enemy has lost his power over you. Because what happens is you find yourself functioning in fear, you find yourself functioning in guilt, you find yourself functioning in shame, and you find yourself like, well, what are people going to say? What are people going to do? Guess what? Most people are so busy, they don't even notice. But the enemy wants you to think that when you walk in the room, you've got a sign saying, look at me, look what I've done. That's what the enemy does. And let me tell you something, that is of the devil. You see, we have a God that brings a peace that surpasses all understanding. We have a God that comforts. We have a God that redeems. We have a God that fills. We have a God that strengthens. We have a God that heals. And when we thank Him for all that He does, even from the smallest to the biggest, let me tell you something, the enemy loses his power over you. He loses his power over you. And so, as we were singing, oh, thank you, there was a shift that happened in this room. There was. Some of you didn't want to be here this morning. Some of you said, man, I'm not sure if I want to go. Some of you didn't feel like coming. Some of you were just kind of like, you know what? Why does it matter? It's just one more Sunday. But what I say to you is that you walked in here and you got victory. You walked in here and you got victory. And you may not feel it right now, but there's healing happening right now on your heart. There's healing happening right now in your heart. But you know what? There also has to come a time when you have to become honest with the Father and say, this is who I am. This is what I need. And then you have to be honest with your brothers and sisters, because we want to help you. We're a family. We're a family. So today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 through 33. The title of the message is Conscious Community and Christ. And the reality of it is what has happened to so many of us is that when life happens, we get a little calloused to what's going on. And so what I'm asking is that the Holy Spirit, and folks, this is not easy. This is not easy. I'm asking the Holy Spirit begins to scrape off the calluses, and so that you can truly begin to feel and see properly. So that you can understand that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, not only for your sin, but for your guilt, for your shame, for your pain. And so that you can see things properly, so that you realize that the things that you do matter, and it affects the people around you. You see, you have a sphere of influence that you don't even realize. But then, once you realize, then there comes accountability. People are watching you. People are paying attention to you. But this is what the Scriptures say, starting in verse 23. All things are lawful. Now, when you're going to hear this, first of all, teenagers, when you hear this, you're going to think, huh, interesting. But hold on. It may be interesting, but it gets tough, and you're going to be held accountable for this. So realize what's going on here. All things are lawful for me. This is Paul talking, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the market, and asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go eat, whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone asks you, this was offered to idols. Do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. And for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but of the other. For why is liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake what with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greek or to the church of God, just as I also pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Then verse 1 of chapter 11, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, there's some things in there were pretty clear, and some things you're kind of like, huh, I don't really understand that. And that's okay. That's what I'm here for. But what I want you to realize is Paul continues to discuss the discussion on Christian liberty and idolatry, clarifying how he believes believers should handle everyday situations like eating food potentially linked to idol worship. While Christian freedom is real, it must be guided by love, consideration of others, conscience, and the ultimate goal of glorifying God. Paul emphasizes the mature believers should not only avoid causing others to stumble, but also to aim to edify others and to live selflessly for the sake of the gospel. You see, we have a responsibility as followers of Christ to set the right example, to be aware of the people around us. And if anything that we do becomes a stumbling block to somebody else, that is sin. But what if you don't know what's going on and you just kind of walk into a situation? I don't know if you necessarily need to feel responsible for that, but this is the deal. That's why we pray for discernment. That's why we pray, Lord, I'm in this situation. If a flag goes up, there's a flag going up for a reason. It's not just for you just to snuff on it or whatever. But let me define what conscience is real quick. A moral sense, an inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to righteousness or wrongness of one's behavior. Still small voice, morals. You see, the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit should do for us as followers of Christ. He should give us, if something's right or wrong, we should hear that inner voice inside of us. And so what Paul is saying is we need to pay attention to these things, but our minds have to be right. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and clear out our minds and open up our eyes and open up our heart to what God has for us. And this is the deal. Just because you don't like something, that doesn't mean it's not for you. Let's just say that somebody wants to help you, but yet you don't tell the whole story. And so we don't know exactly how to help you. And one of the reasons you may not want someone to help is because you may be embarrassed about what's happened or what's been going on in your life. But let me tell you something, folks. We have compassion. That's the heart of Jesus. He has compassion upon you. He understands where you're at. What you are going through has not caught him off guard. It has not caught him off guard. Therefore, I want you to really embrace the fact that you are passionately loved by a holy God. He sees where you're at. He is not surprised what's going on in your life. He is not surprised what's going on with your family. He's not surprised by what's going on in your job. He's not surprised what's going on in your health. He is not surprised. But because we have been loved wrong, we are surprised on how he responds to us. We are surprised that he does it because this world is full of a merit-based system. And so what happens is we think that if we do this, this, and this, this is the result of that. It's a merit-based system that we have in our mind. And the reality is God loves us because he loves us. And he wants the best for us. And he wants to fill us with his strength so that we can overcome. But the only way that he can fill us with his strength is we have to die to our strength. We have to allow him to live through us. So as we look at verse 22 and 23, it says, All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So in all, if all things are what? It says all things are lawful for me. So Paul's saying, I can do anything I want to do. But not all things are helpful. So there's things that you can do. Yeah, you can do that. You have free will. But are they helpful? Are they going to lift somebody up? Are they going to encourage somebody? And then it says this. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So as we consider this, as we look at this, Paul repeats a common saying, all things are lawful. He does not point out not all things are helpful. He does point out all things, not all things are helpful or edifying. The focus should be honoring the Father through our own actions and looking for ways to lift others up. Is the things that you're choosing to do honoring the Father? Or are you constantly pushing God away because you won't open up and be honest about what's going on? He knows what's going on, but this is the deal. Are we strong enough? Are we willing to die to ourselves? Are we willing to put that old man aside? And don't get me wrong, your emotions and feelings are valid, but they should not be the barometer the barometer of your life. What the barometer of your life, the foundation of Reliyaf is the Word of God. What have we said, and what are we going to continue to say, and what do we live by? The Word of God is the final authority on everything in life. The Word of God is the final authority. But Matt, you just don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. You're right, and you're right. Does it change the fact you have a holy God yearning for you to embrace what He has for you? And I'm telling you, if you will embrace what He has for you, the goodness of God is never ending. It's an endless well. It's an endless well. But most of us are so selfish that we think that we've got to get our way no matter what, when actually another way might be the better way. Just because you want what you want, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best for you. It may just mean you've gotten comfortable with that and you're not willing to say, I've made this choice to put me on this path. So you really need to understand what is going on. It says in Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Do you want people to not have the hope of Jesus Christ? Is that what you want? Or do you want them to have the hope of Jesus Christ? But the only way that some people may embrace that hope, the only way is if you let them see the right Jesus. You see, I believe that there's so many people that have stopped coming to worship, not just here, but the overall church, is because they were exposed to the wrong Jesus. They were exposed to the judgmental Jesus. They were exposed to the I'm better than you Jesus. They were exposed to all, and they were not exposed to the right Jesus. If they would have been exposed to the right Jesus, maybe they would come to. But then, look at the 12 disciples. They hung out with him for 3.5 years. And what did Judas do? Judas had the perfect teacher with a perfect response to every situation, and he still turned his back on him. So, I don't know. People are people, right? But it says in Romans 5:2, it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. That's what it says in Romans 5:2. So we need to look for opportunities to show people the love of Jesus Christ for conscience sake and also for community. Because once people start feeling a part of something, they want to join it. They want to walk step in step. They want to be in unity. My heart breaks for what has been going on in Texas and up in Oklahoma and over in New Mexico with all of this flooding. It is a tragedy. And I said, Lord, why? Why would you allow these things to go on? Why would you allow all the pain and the suffering and the hurting and all of these things? And I don't know if I have a clear answer for that. But what I do know is you see people coming together. And the scriptures call for unity. And so we, as the body of Christ, no matter what is on the door of this building, we need to come together with other brothers and sisters in Christ and lift up and be helpful and edify these people out here, because I'm telling you, there's many people out there that have not heard, I love you, in so long. They have not seen someone that actually sits down and actually listens to them. Don't patronize people. If they start opening up to you, take 5 minutes out of your day and show some love and compassion and listen to them. Now, that means sometimes you don't even have an answer. You're just there to listen. And you know what? It's not a bad thing to listen. Now, if the Lord gives you an opportunity to bring a word of encouragement or even correction, of course, in love, we need to do that. But let me tell you something. We have so many opportunities that we have missed because we are all about us. It's all about me. Christy told me the other day, she said, Matt, she said, you need to slow down sometimes and look people in the eye and listen. It's the truth. I mean, I thought that I gave people enough time, but then there's times when I have hurt people because I have not slowed down enough to just listen. And you know, I'm not going to make any excuses. My brain goes 1,000 miles an hour every moment of every day. And sometimes I just want it to slow down. But this is the deal. I'm going to ask you to do this for me. And it's never on purpose, guys, I promise. But if ever you come up to me and you need to talk to me and you think that I'm not paying attention, just reach over, touch my arm and say, Matt, please, I need to talk to you. Because sometimes I don't even think about it. I'm just like thinking about the next thing, you know, what am I going to eat? Who else is walking up? What's going through my head? I'll be sitting there listening to people sometimes and it'll go through my head, what's going on with my grandson? Just out of the blue, I'm like, what? Well, I mean, I don't know why my brain just sometimes just goes and just kind of does a little changey thing and I don't know, quit thinking about it. I don't know why. I mean, I was over at Chris and Amy's house the other night, and we were sitting there teaching. We were having a great time of teaching and everything like that. And then right smack dab in the middle of me, and then my brain just goes, burr, and I'm like, and then it took me about 10 seconds. All right, okay. I don't know why it does it sometimes, but all you got to do is just reach up and say, hey, Matt, I really need to talk to you. And so I will ask you other folks, if you see me talking to somebody, and you need to talk to me, be patient. Because if you walk up and touch me, then my brain is not on the person I'm talking to. We need to be considerate and loving for each other. You know what? If we don't start the service until 11:30 because the Holy Spirit's working and moving and we're having conversations with people and praying for people, that's okay. We're not on Matt's time frame. We're on God's time frame. And so I just want to ask you, please, if you catch me not paying attention, if you'll just, I mean, I don't know, maybe you want to jab me in the throat, I don't know. But if you'll just reach up and just say, hey, Matt, I really need to talk to you. And then say, then understand there's other people around. So just say, hey, is there a time I can set up with you and we talk? And I will try to do that. I will try. But please help me. It's not intentional that sometimes I'm a jerk and I'm rude. It's not intentional. That's a natural trait, but it's not intentional. I've tried to die to that old guy, but sometimes he shows up. And that's unfortunate. But then it says in verse 25 through 27, it says, eat whatever is sold in the market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go eat, whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Now, that's kind of, those are kind of some weird things, right? You're kind of like, well, what are you talking about? Well, this is the deal. What he's saying is at this time, you know, he's talking to the people in Corinth, and there was a whole lot of other things being worshipped. There's a whole lot of things being sacrificed. And, you know, if they're trying to lead someone to Jesus and someone invites them over to eat and they're sitting there eating something, you know, I wouldn't say, hey, listen, where'd you get this meat from? I mean, I'm not going to say that. I mean, I'm telling you, if I go and eat at Tim and Brandy's house, I promise you, I'm not going to be rude and say, hey, guys, where'd you get the food? I mean, I'm just not going to do that. They would be offended, and I'd probably get punched by Christy. I mean, she's just like, don't do that. That's not nice. That's rude. And sometimes rude Matt shows up, and so I need to be corrected. But anyway, I'm just saying, I'm not going to do that. But the reality is we need to be compassionate upon it. If someone invites you to do something, believers can eat whatever is sold in the meat market without asking questions. If invited to an unbeliever's house, eat what is offered without raising concern. This is the deal. We're supposed to lift up. We're supposed to show this person compassion and understanding. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So I'm telling you, you can go ahead and pray over everything. I mean, when I was in Zambia, they laid some stuff in front of me, and I was like, ugh. All right, Lord, I'm just going to eat it, and Lord, please help me don't gag in front of these people. I don't want to disrespect them, right? But I remember they laid this one plate, and it had all these big, fat, like, worms on it. And they thought it was a delicacy, and I'm sitting there going, And so I'm like, all right, so how do you do this? Do you chew it up? Do you just throw it to the back of the throat and swallow it? And so I was just like, well, here we go. So I'm sitting there talking, and I wrapped it in some bread, and I ate it real fast. You know, I swallowed it, you know, and I was just like, ooh, tastes a little rancid. But, hey, I ate it, right? But this is the deal. I didn't want to disrespect those people because I was trying to show them the love of Christ. Now, I will share with you, if you invite me to your house, I will eat anything that you put in front of me. But I would ask you, out of the kindness of my heart, if liver and onions is your favorite meal, if it's your favorite meal, I will sit there and eat it with you, but just give me a small piece. That's all I'm saying. But the reality of it is I would not disrespect you if you asked me into your home to eat whatever, you know, you asked me to eat. And it says in Psalms 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord. So whatever is here is available to us. We should just realize that's something that we need to understand. And then it says in verses 28 through 30, it says, but if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? So this is the deal. If you happen to find out that something evil has been done with this, and for whatever reason you now know, you would just graciously say thank you, but no thank you, because you knew that it was offered to something that is not honoring to the Father. But if you didn't know, how would you know if you didn't know? But if you know, then you do have to take a stand for the Father. And so, if someone says the food was offered to idols, abstain for their conscience, not your own. You're taking a stand for them to understand that you value who God is. You have elevated the Father, and He is the head of your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. You are held to a high standard as a follower of Jesus Christ. What does it say? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You have been selected and set apart for His work Christian liberty must be exercised with love and sensitivity to others' convictions. You have to be sensitive to others, but they also need to know where you stand. Don't be a doormat. Just don't accept whatever, whenever, however. In Romans 15, 16, it says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. So what does that mean? That means that be cautious where you go. Be cautious who you're around. Be cautious what you say. Be cautious what you eat. One of the funniest stories, at the time it was not funny at all, but at one time I was a youth pastor in a little bitty town named Leonard, Texas, and it's a little farming community up in East Texas, and so I lived in a church parsonage, and I was the youth minister, and one Saturday morning I was going out to go mow my yard. I went out there, had on my cool shorts on, showing off my really good-looking legs. And I was out there, and before I was going to mow, some people had thrown some beer cans in my front yard. Probably some of my youth group. I don't know. And so I picked up, and I had a big old Bud Light in my hand, and one of the deacons drove by, and I'm like this. I'm like, hey, deacon. And I was all waving real big and everything. I didn't think anything about it. I picked up the rest of the beer cans and threw them in the trash. I started mowing. A few minutes later, I get a phone call from my senior pastor. And I'm like, hey, Brother Chris, what's going on? He goes, why are you drinking beer in your front yard? I'm like, I'm not drinking beer in my front yard. He goes, one of the deacons drove by and said that you were drinking a beer. I know, no. I was picking up beer cans. He happened to drive by. I was holding a beer can. And he was just like, well, hey, bud, you might want to be cautious. What else you want me to do, bro? I didn't have an idea that some deacon that was going to be that way was going to get all feisty. I mean, you know what? It's just so ridiculous. But if a student would have drove by and saw me with a beer in my hand, they could have thought, what's going on with Brother Matt, our youth pastor? It would look like, if you saw me, I mean, if you walked up to me and I had two beers in my hand, what would you think? You're like, dang, he must have been thirsty. No, the thoughts would go through your mind, why does my pastor have two beers in his hand in public? I mean, that's what was going through your head, right? Or at all. And so we have to be cautious on what we do. I mean, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, it says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more. We have a responsibility to set the right example, to do the right thing, in public, out of public, anytime. The man I am in front of you is the man I am at my house. And so we have to be careful. We must be considerate of our neighbors. Do we have freedom? Of course. But the scriptures tell us to put others before ourselves. There are some times that we have to say, I'm not going to do this so that I honor the Father with my life. It's so important that we do that. It's so important that we understand that. I mean, it says in Romans 14, 13, we've got to be cautious. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or a sister. It says that in Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Verse 33 through 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jew or the Greek or the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Whether eating or drinking, everything should be done to the glory of God. Avoid giving offense to anyone, whether it be Jew or Greek or people in the church. Paul sees himself as an example, seeking to please others for their salvation. We have to honor the Father, and through honoring the Father, we're also going to be showing people love, compassion, and understanding. It's so important that we realize that. All for the glory of God, whether that be our work, the people at work, our spouse, our children, our customer, our employee. We have to show something different. The only way people are going to be attracted to what Jesus offers is if we are a marked difference, set apart, different from this world. Different from this world. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." In Romans 14:13, I've already read that one. In Romans 15:12, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading edification." Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." So the first order is to please God, and through pleasing God, we will show people the love of Christ, and they will see something different inside of us. Now, that's very difficult because we want the best for the people around us. And when we see people going and doing certain things, it's real, real easy for us to think that we're God. It's real easy for us to point out certain things. But let me tell you something. Let's let God do the convicting and us be there to give the love. Now, do we have the right to hold people accountable? Of course we do. Of course we do. The scriptures say, "By their fruit you will know them." So many people, when you point out certain things, they automatically say, "Well, don't you judge me. How dare you do that?" Hey, bro, I'm just identifying a fruit. And maybe you don't even realize what's going on. But the reality of it is God gives us opportunities to show love. Now, how people receive that, that's a different story. I mean, some people are just going to have that attitude, and we know that that's the enemy working in and through them to discourage you. But you have to stand for what's right. You have to stand for the scriptures. You have to embrace what is there. Paul teaches that while Christians have freedom, our actions as followers of Christ must be guided by love. It all has to be guided by love, not asserting your authority and you telling someone, "Shame on you." I promise you, when I was in the middle of my sin, the absolute last thing I wanted to hear is somebody getting all up in my business. Nobody wanted to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. You didn't want to hear that. But let me tell you something. God wants to use people in your life. That doesn't mean that that there isn't going to be tough things in your life come up. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be frustrated. But what if God is using someone in your life to get you on the right track? What if God is using someone else? So this is the deal. We must be guided by love, concern for others' conscience, and desire to be glorify God. The ultimate standard is not personal preference or liberty, but what builds up others to honor God. So this is the deal. The conscience, we have to realize that we ask the Holy Spirit to give us that discernment so that we can see things properly. And then as we see things properly, we're going to help our community to embrace what Christ has for them, because Christ is the best way. The world's going to tell you there's other ways, but Christ is the best way. He wants to take you from where you are and lift you up to where He wants you to be. And sometimes that is a lot, most of the time, actually it hurts. Most of the time it hurts. You know, I was sharing with someone earlier that sometimes the fire is not as painful as the scraping. The refiner's fire, what happens is we get in that fire and we're burned down to nothing. And God puts us in the mold that He wants us to be. And He pours all of us in there just like gold and silver. And as that gold and silver cools, what happens? The impurities come to the top. Well, the only way that gold or silver gets pure is those impurities have to be scraped off. And man, the scraping hurts. And sometimes we all have to go through, well, not sometimes, we all eventually have to go through some scraping. God wants to use you. God wants to refine you for a purpose. Because why? You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's chosen people. And then it says in verse 11, verse 1, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And so I want to encourage you to take on the characteristics of Christ, to take on to respond to things in the way that he would want you to respond to things. And some of you might be saying, well, but how would he respond to this? Or how would he respond to that? Well, this is what I got to say. Are the things that you're choosing to do in certain situations, are they lining up with the scriptures? If they are, then you let God do the rest. If there's certain things that you're doing in a certain situation that don't honor God, you need to repent and you need to make it right and allow him to lead, guide, and direct you. If you want God to do great things in your life, guess what? It starts with your obedience. Your obedience. You being honest before the Father and you being honest with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard to do. Because guess what? Most of us, unfortunately, are liars. We don't just we truly just kind of present something that we think people are going to accept. That's what we do. It's a protective thing. We've been hurt, trust has been broken, and we don't want to hurt no more. So we tell people what we think they want to hear so that we get the response we want. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe you guys are better than me. And if you are, that's okay. I'm telling you, there's times when I still do that. I know I don't need your approval. I know that. But sometimes my human side wants your approval. You get what I'm saying? And I sometimes just don't want to be honest with you about certain things because I'm your preacher and I don't want you to know that about me. I don't want you to know what goes through my mind sometimes. Thank God you don't. But I should trust you enough. I should know that you love me enough that I can be completely honest and transparent about every aspect of my life. But it's hard. Because nobody wants to be called a liar. Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to be questioned. Nobody wants to be held accountable. That's the problem. But I'm telling you something. God wants to work in your life, but you have to take some accountability and do the right thing also. I mean, if you truly want Jesus to pay the debt of your sin, you have to give him that debt. And that means letting go of some things. So what I'm telling you is for some of us in the room this morning, we need to let go and allow God to work. And I believe that there's some people in this room that need to let go. I believe that there's people in this room that need to trust the Lord. I believe that there's people in this room that need to repent and be honest, not only with themselves, but God and others. You see, God wants to heal you. He has not forgotten you. What you're going through has not caught him by surprise. It hasn't caught him off guard. And guess what? He's still, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have said, no matter how you have responded, guess what? He still loves you. He still accepts you. He still wants to pick you up and hold you tight. Even when you don't want to be held and picked up. And you know what? He's the perfect gentleman. That's what is so cool about God. He's a perfect gentleman. He will let you stiff arm him until you stop. But what if you doing this gives him the opportunity to be who he wants to be in your life as opposed to who you think he should be in your life? He is not a genie. He's not a genie in a bottle. He is your Savior. He is a holy God. And he wants to rock your life. And if you have been struggling in anything, no matter what it may be, He wants to reconcile and redeem that this morning. He wants to heal you. I mean, this is what I know. I've been doing this for a few years. I'm 52 years old right now. Here next month, I'll be 53. That's crazy. That is crazy that I'm going to be 53. But this is what I know. The first time I preached, I was 14 years old. And it was 8 minutes long, and Charlie's like, where is that sermon? But anyway, but this is the deal. Exactly. Hey, Brandy, come on now. You know that's right. Anyway, but it's okay. But this is the deal. It's okay. He can come up here. If you want to come up here, come on, here. Anyway, so this is the deal. So this is what I know. I know that when my hands get really, really hot, and they are really hot right now, I know that God wants to touch somebody in a very real way, and somebody's going to be healed. Somebody's going to be healed this morning. And you know who you are. You know who need. And it may not be a physical healing. It may be an emotional healing. It may be a spiritual healing. But what I do know is when my hands are feeling like this, that means the Spirit is working and moving. And you know, and as you're sitting out there, you know who I'm talking to. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and call you out, because that would be not respectful. That wouldn't honor the Father. But the reality is God is good, and He loves you. And you are here this morning, not by chance, but by appointment. God wanted you here, and He loves you that much. He passionately loves you, and He wants to just do a work in you. So as we're going to have a time of commitment. I know the last couple of weeks, we've kind of been in more of a teaching mode, and which is great. That's what the Lord wanted. But I'm telling you this morning, I really feel strongly that somebody needs hands laid on, anointed with oil, and God to do a work in you. If that's not you, that's okay. I'm going to encourage you to pray for the person that is for. And if nobody walks up here, that's okay too. It doesn't change the fact the Holy Spirit's working. You don't need a touch from me to get a touch from God. I promise you that. And so it is just awesome what God's about to do in you if you will allow Him to do that. Okay? So I'm gonna ask Will to just put on a song. I'm going to ask you to stand. Let me pray for you right now. I'm going to ask Randy and Christy and Tim and Brandy to help me. And anybody else that wants to help pray for people, that's fine. Ray and Katie. But precious Lord, I just thank You so much for this day, Lord. I thank You for all that You're doing. I thank You for what You've done. Lord, I just pray that You would give people the courage to come up and be prayed for, Father. Lord, You want to do a work in people, but Father, people have to come before You open and honest and be willing to receive what You have for them, God. So Lord, right now as You're working in people, I pray that there would be a level of courage that would rise up inside of them. Lord, there would be a hunger and a desire that would work, Father. And Lord, I pray that they would just allow You to do what only You can do. And for the person that their right shoulder and neck is hurting so bad, Father, I pray that they would have the courage to come up, and we would pray that would be taken care of, Father. Lord, for those that are dealing with anxiety and depression, Lord, I pray that You would just work in them, Father, and let them know that You are the Savior. And Lord, I just feel like that there's going to be visitations by You in people's dreams, Father. And so, Father, I pray that You would do that, and that would be activated right now in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood that was shed upon the cross. Lord, I love You. I thank You. I praise You. In Your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen.